Yes, you do. You certainly, when Krishna takes everything away, then where do you go for help? You can't, where are you going to, who are you going to turn to? And that is actually the test of your chanting and the test of your devotional service, that when you are in difficulty, where do you go to for help? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? Where does your mind go when you're sick or when everything is being taken away or things like this? So, Nadhanam, no wealth. Srila Prabhupada explained in one purport in Bhagavatam that according to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded. This happens. And this is true both individually and collectively. When Srila Prabhupada, he was in America, and he said, now we are seeing this in America. The entire American nation has tried to advance in opulence, material opulence. Yes. Without striving to produce ideal human beings. The result is Americans are now regretting wholesale criminality. When Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, he noted one magazine article, crime, why, and what to do. So he phoned up the police department and said, I have a solution for crime. So they sent over their public relations officer, and he interviewed Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, we should do prasad distribution and Harinam Sankirtan, and this will change the hearts of the criminals. And we see in our prison preaching that it actually changes their hearts when they chant Hare Krishna. We have many prisoners who have become, who are chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles even in prison. So this is the only way. Yes.
And they focus more on fundraising,
right.
Fundraising,
right. If the leader is a Vaishya, then they will focus on money. If the leader is a Kshatriya, they will focus on power, getting more territory. And if the leader is a Brahmin, they will focus on the spiritual side of it. And if the leader is a Shudra, then sense gratification or material eating, sleeping. Hopefully not mating and defending. And so this is, we have to have Brahmins as the leaders. The problem is that even in our society, sometimes the brain is missing. So therefore, there are problems. But that's the only problem. Prabhupada wanted to make a society of Brahmins. But everyone goes to his own level, actually. At the beginning, everyone was following like everything very nicely, but then after a few years, then you go to your level where you actually are. And it's better you stay at, you behave in your own level and not try to imitate higher level. So, but the understanding should be there that the Brahmins should be the leaders of the society. In the Vedic age, the highest class was the Brahmins, and they were given the most respect. Now, if you look in Kali Yuga society, who is given the most respect? No, I'm not talking about ISKCON. I'm talking about the Shudras. Yeah, which kind of Shudras?
Well, that's money and power.
Yeah, money and power. Athletes, movie stars. This is who is in the papers. Who are famous?
Who?
Yeah, actors, musicians, politicians. In India, it's politicians, but in the West, not so much. It's more actors.
And they don't even have academic education.
No. No. Yes. Even, and they're the lowest, but because they have money, then people think they can ask them intelligent, just like John Lennon. Prabhupada went to visit John Lennon in England, and in the living room, there's a picture of John and his wife without any clothes on in the living room. And Prabhupada said, and they come to ask him very serious questions about the world situation. So what is he going to say about it, you know? Just because of money. Whoever has money, he is considered a very elevated soul. And so the result, the men produced in the society are lower than Shudra. Prabhupada says, fifth class, they are unwanted population known as Varna Sankara. And this we heard in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, when there is an increase of unwanted population, a hellish situation is created. There is one story in India of one child. He came at midnight to Mother Teresa's place in Calcutta. Mother Teresa, you all know her? She's like a humanitarian sort of person. And she took care of people and orphans and sick people like that. So then this child came, and he told the sisters, he said, "I went to my mother, and she said she didn't want me. And I went to my father, and he said he didn't want me. Do you want me?" So this is today's unwanted children. They're unwanted children. That's why they're killing. They don't want the child. It's a mistake.
They want to enjoy the sense.
They just want to enjoy without any rules. But the rules are there. The responsibility is there with the enjoyment. So this is the position of today's society because they're after dhanam, or wealth. So why is praying for material benefits foolish? Of course, we do pray. If we want something material, we go to Krishna. But why is it not so intelligent to pray like that? I think somebody was speaking yesterday about that. Shouldn't pray for... Okay.
So the one who wants to liberate us, we don't ask for more entanglement.
Yes, we're going to... It's painful for him because he sees that we want to suffer more here. He wants to stay here and not become liberated.
And Krishna already knows why.
And he knows. Yeah, we don't have to bother him. Yes.
That means we're asking him to change our karma.
Yes. He's changing anyway. He's already changing. He says in Gita.
Yeah.
Right. Good things we will keep. Okay. If the money comes, I'm happy. That you don't stop my karma. but the suffering and the disease that you can stop. You can stop that. Money in the house and all these nice things. It's all right. I can tolerate. Yeah. Right. But unfortunately, he reduces all of it. He minimizes all of our karma. Yes. It's a fact.
It just comes somewhere.
Yes, it's a fact. In Vrindavan and Mayapur, every tree is a desire tree.
Yeah.
And the air and the dust.
Something nice for Guru, something nice for Tata.
Yes.
Somehow you will see the money.
Even if you once have some material desire, it will come too. Yeah. Even if you have something, you know, I'd like to eat a pizza. Pizza comes. I have these experiences. You have? Yeah. So, yeah, it's like that. You have to watch out what you desire. And so, Dhruva Maharaj, he prayed for a kingdom, and then when the Lord came, he didn't want it. So we don't want to become embarrassed like that in front of the Lord. Because he came and he said, "No, I don't want it." He says, no, I know what you wanted before. So you have to stay here and you have to enjoy for 36,000 years. But Dhruva Maharaj said, "I was searching for some broken pieces of glass, but seeing you, now I've gotten a very valuable jewel." So, Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. Najanam means I don't want so many followers. What could be the problem if you have a lot of followers?
Pride.
Yes.
Extended selfishness.
You actually think, yes, what they say is true. I am the protector, yes. I am the maintainer. I am the spiritual leader of all these people. Lord Chaitanya says that what is the use of becoming leader of so many fools? What will you gain? So Najanam, Nasundarim, beautiful wife, beautiful husband, don't want. So Kavitam Va means to be glorified with so many words. Jagadisha Kamaye, or to be Lord of the Universe, Lord Brahma. So what do you want? Mama Janmani, Janmanishare, Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahitagitve. So, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Kit Janma Obi Icha Jaditur. That even if you make me an insect in the house of the devotee, I don't mind. I'd rather be an insect than a Brahma who is a non-devotee. So I'll get a chance to eat some prasadam, if I'm an insect in the house of devotee. So, devotee doesn't aspire to be born in a very rich family or all of these things. And not even he wants to be liberated. He's saying janmani, janmani, birth after birth. Why doesn't the devotee want liberation? It's very nice to be liberated. So much misery here. Okay, not we don't want it just because of escaping, escapist mentality. Yes? And another reason is that if you're serving Krishna, you're already liberated, Prabhupada says. You're on the boat. If you're on the boat, you are already liberated. Maya will come and stand with folded hands. Please, how can I serve you? I mean, not Maya. It is liberation. Liberation, yes.
Liberation means impersonal.
Yeah, impersonal, right. We don't want impersonal liberation. Mukti means impersonal, generally. Yeah, vimukti is service to Krishna. And that doesn't require that you leave the material body.
That's right.
This is the thing. The point is that you can have vimukti even here in this present body. Jivan muktas uchite. If you're always engaged, iha yasya hayadasye karmana manasagira. If you're engaged body, mind, and words, then jivan muktas uchite. That you are already liberated. So this is... This is the position of ruchi. When you get to this level of ruchi, then you don't care, even if you get another material, even in this material body, you don't care. You have this material body, you don't care if you get another material body, because you have so much taste for the holy name. It doesn't matter if you're here or there or anywhere, because you're with Krishna. If you're in hell, you're with Krishna. If you're in heaven, you're with Krishna. So here he says, I want your devotional service. What service does he want of the nine kinds of devotional service? Chanting, yes, very good. This is a class on japa. So we want chanting, more chanting.
Yeah.
We want to chant birth after birth. And actually, if you read Bhagavatam, most of the devotees in Bhagavatam, when they are asked by the Lord, what do you want? I just want to chant and hear your holy name in association of devotees. Prithu Maharaj prays, let me have thousands and millions of ears to always hear and chant your glories. And all of them, they are all praying like that. Even Dhruva Maharaj, even Parikshit, he just said, just let me be with the devotees. All I want to do is hear and chant the glories of Krishna. So this is the top desire of the devotee. Mama Janmani, Janmani Shre, always chanting. So, in order to understand what the devotees want, we have to know the meaning of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada, in a very famous lecture, actually it was a tape, early tape recording, he was chanting Hare Krishna, and then he said a small lecture. I won't read the whole lecture, but just the part about the meaning of the holy names. Prabhupada said, the word Hara is the form of addressing the energy of the Lord. The word Krishna and Rama are forms of addressing the Lord himself. Both Krishna and Rama mean the supreme pleasure, and Hara is supreme pleasure, energy of the Lord, changed to Hare in the vocative. Supreme pleasure, energy of the Lord, helps us to reach the Lord. These three words, namely Hara, Hare, Krishna, and Rama, are the transcendental seeds of the Mahamantra. This chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the Lord Father's grace, and the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. So in the letter, Prabhupada said, O Hare, Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service so I can get relief from the service of Maya. So now we're serving Maya, so we want to serve Krishna. So the fifth prayer is an explanation of this cry of a child for its mother, which describes our eternal constitutional position. This is our level of asakti. So what are we crying for? That is explained in the fifth verse. You can look at your paper. Ayinanda tanucha Kinkaram Vachichanam Vishame Bhavam Vada Kripaya Tava Parapanteja Stitachari Sarisham Shintaya. O son of Mahashananda, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So there we are in the ocean of birth and death, two hands up above the water, crying for Krishna. That is our position in verse 5. Please place me as an atom of dust. So he calls Krishna Nanda, Nanda Tanuja, because Krishna, he's more pleased when he hears the name, his name, in relationship with his devotee. So that's why he's saying like that. He's not saying Krishna. So please, somehow I've fallen in this Vishame, this very dangerous, dangerous ocean of this material world. Somehow I'm your servant, but I forgot. And here, this is my position. So Bhavam Budhau, just like a huge ocean, Bhava, birth and death. So we're struggling hard in this ocean. So we're trying to grab hold of something in this ocean, but it's just the water, what we're going to hold unto. And there's only one thing, and that's Krishna's lotus feet. And the boat of the Hare Krishna movement. Try to get on the boat, and then we're safe. So Kripaya, I'm seeking your mercy. Please pick me up and make me one particle of dust at your lotus feet. So this is the standard of prayer. We should only want to be placed as one of the atoms to render service to Krishna. So in explaining the mood of a child crying for its mother, Prabhupada said, when we chant Hare Krishna, we are praying, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please accept me. So that's how we think when we're, like, this whole prayer can be summarized into three words. Please accept me when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please accept me. Please accept me as yours. Please let me be yours. So Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya taught us we should simply cry and pray the Lord accept us. It's a cry to Krishna. So there is a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 11th chapter, by Ritrasura. You know, it's a Ajata Paksha Ivamataram Kaga Stanyam Yatavat Sarata Shirata Priyam Vyeva Vyusitam Visana Manara Vindasa Vidikshatetam. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers. Whereas a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So in the retreat in Govardhan, we discussed this prayer. And Sachinanda Maharaj was explaining that birds, the example of the birds, they're waiting for the mother to feed them. This is kind of a mixed, it's mixed with selfishness. They just want food. No idea of service. Is someone, and so this is compared to someone who just wants to enjoy the chanting. And the second one, the calves, are also mixed. They want the milk, but they also want exchange with the mother at the same time. So the calf moves forward to the mother, accepts the favorable, rejects the unfavorable. And the best one is the wife. She's giving service, decorating the house, herself cooking, and she wants to give service. So while chanting, there are three rules. Think of Krishna in the mood of separation as a wife with no personal desire, and rush forward to give pleasure to Krishna. So this is the explanation of this verse. And now we are going to, you want to repeat that, those three things? Okay. Think of Krishna, number one. Number two, rush forward to give pleasure like a calf. Rush forward. And number three, feel like a wife in separation from the husband. No personal desire, but simply to satisfy the husband. So that is the example given in Srimad Bhagavatam of the mood of the devotee. So we're going to chant now, and we're going to see, we're going to chant, and we'll see some deity pictures on the screen. Yes, yeah, you can ask questions because it'll probably take me a while to get it going. In Calcutta Temple, we have very opulent flower decoration. Every day, I would buy 1 dozen lotuses, means 144 big, big lotuses, 1 dozen roses, gardenias, and other flowers. And then I had one rich man who was bringing 50 garlands every day, and there's just Radha Govinda, Lord Chaitanya, and Jagannath. So we used to change the flowers 5 times a day. 5 times. Mangalarti, Darshanarti, and then it was evening arti. No, 4 o'clock arti, then Sandhya arti, and then when they go to sleep. Yeah, no, Sandhya we did for Sandhya. Sundararti.
Changing garlands?
Yeah, changing garlands. 5 times. No, I didn't bother. We had so many garlands, and we had 4 kinds of champa. There's one champa which is like here, they have this open white champa, then there's red champa. No, we manage. Yeah, of course. When I wake them up at 3:30, then I would do the decoration. Probably we closed a little early during Tulsi Arti. We had Tulsi Arti in the evening. So we would close a little early and then decorate and then make the offering and then open for Sundar Arti.
So we were allowed to be on the Arti in India?
All the pujaris were women in India when Prabhupada was here. I don't know. It was all over the world. It was women pujaris, and that was the standard. I was the pujari for 7 years, and then I left to do traveling Sankirtan, book distribution in Bombay, Maharashtra, Gujarat, Rajasthan. I did that for 7 years.
So you spoke the language?
Well, I learned. You don't have to learn much, just the price of the book. Because in India it was so easy, just put a table anywhere and people come and rush to buy the books, so no problem. And we have a microphone and we say, half price, very cheap, come and get it. And people just run. Because generally we were the first devotees in the village they ever saw. So when we would go there, then they would say, oh, what's happening? And then we have the Bhagavad Gita, very cheap in their language, so then they would buy. Like this big Bhagavad Gita where we're selling 10 rupees, 11 rupees, like that. And and sometimes it was if we ran out of books, we could cause a riot. So we didn't tell them. We would just say, we're just going back to our room to get some more books, and then we'd get out of town. Wow. Because we had a very small van, and whatever could fit in the van, we were just laying on top of the books until we distribute them. So it was quite exciting. In the early days in India. That was in the 80s, actually. In the early 80s, that we were going and distributing books. We came to Vrindavan and we were distributing at Govardhan and many places. So, yes. Now you feel so this is another way to feel the presence of the Lord, of course, when you are chanting, when you are distributing His books, His holy name. And so that's what we're trying to do here. So we're praying to become an atom at Krishna's lotus feet. So here's Krishna's lotus feet. Which part do we want to go to? His lotus feet. There's so many places to go. So we're going to discuss this first about the significance of his lotus feet. In Bhagavatam 3:28-21, in fact, Kapiladev, he gives a meditation for the yogis to meditate on the different parts of the body of the Lord. And first, you start with the lotus feet of Krishna. So the verse goes, Sanchintaye bhagavatam sharanaravindam vajrankusham vajasaroru halanshanadhyam utungarattavilasana kachakravala The devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet, which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt, gold, banner, and lotus. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart. Govinda Lilamrita. It says, a single mentioning of the glories of Sri Krishna's feet at once removes one's thirst for everything else. They are expert in destroying the calamities of those who meditate on them and bestow all good fortune. Simply by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, one attains all spiritual and material fortune, beauty, good qualities, and wealth. They are the abode of all pastimes. May those feet be our everything. Even a slight worship of Krishna's feet turns a mere stone into a Chintamani gem, an ordinary cow into a Kamadhenu, an ordinary tree into a Kalpavriksha. They fulfill all desires of a living being who will not take shelter of these lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains the verse of Bhagavatam, which I read, Hridaya Andhakaram. Hridaya means heart. Andhakara means very, very dark. Gloom, gloomy heart. So some of us may have experienced at times that our heart is very dark. We don't see Krishna in our heart sometimes. We see other things. So Prabhupada said that if you simply concentrate on Krishna and the marks of Krishna's lotus feet, all this darkness, the dirty things, will be attacked. Ahata. They will be kicked out of your heart. Andhakaram. Get out, Prabhupada says. Mahat means very great. Mahad ridhaya andhakaram. So we're covered. So we see these marks in Krishna's feet. Up in the top left corner, there is an elephant goad. Elephant goad, you see? Top left. Goad. G-O-A-D. It's when you have an elephant, then it's to make him go. They put it behind the ear of the elephant, and that controls the elephant. In Mayapur, that's what they used to have when they had the elephant. Elephant goad, up in the upper left. It's to the left of the lotus. So what it means, if you meditate on this elephant goad, then the elephant of your mind will be controlled and kept on the right path. The mind is like an elephant. So if you meditate on that mark, your elephant-like mind will be controlled. Then we have the flag, which is underneath the lotus. This flag destroys unwanted elements, like anartas, gives security and protection from fear. It's a victory flag, actually. And it is described in Bhagavatam that when Lord Vamanadev raised his leg like a flagpole, so Vamanadev's leg is compared to a flagpole, and to break the shell of the universe, allowing the Ganga to flow down, the Ganga is like the banner of the flag. So there's another meaning of the flag, that it's Vamanadev's leg with the Ganga flowing down. Yeah. So you can think of Vamanadev, and that's also victory, victory for the devotee. Then we have the thunderbolt. The thunderbolt is next to the flag on the left and underneath the elephant goad. There is a thunderbolt. It's like a little round shape. Indra's thunderbolt weapon. And there is a verse about that again in Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 3:21-22. It shows Chani Sri Dasari Pravaradikena Titina Mardatikitena Shiva Shiva Bhur Tiatu Manas Samala Shalani Shistala Chan Kyaya Chirambhavata Sharana Ravindam. The Lord's feet act like thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of a meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. So in our heart, in our mind, there are heaps of dirt in the form of desires to lord it over material nature. And this dirt is like a mountain, but a mountain can be shattered when hit by a thunderbolt. So if you meditate on this thunderbolt weapon, it will shatter the mountain of sin in your mind, sinful desires, material desires. So if a yogi, he wants to do that, because we have accumulated this dirt like a solid mountain for many, many births, then we have to meditate for a long time on the thunderbolt weapon of Lord Krishna to shatter this mountain of material desires. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport. Now, underneath his big toe, on the same foot, there is a barleycorn. It's like a like this shape. No. Under the big toe, there's like a grain. Yes, grain. It's a barley grain. And this represents all kinds of opulences. This brings the mind of his devotees under his control and gives all worldly pleasures for the devotee. And there's another meaning for the pure devotee, that if you find shelter at his feet, your former journey of many births becomes as tiny as a grain, barley corn. Very small birth, your journey of birth and death becomes that small, finished. So meditate on the barley corn. Then the lotus flower. This, if you meditate on this lotus flower, it increases the greed in the mind of the bee-like devotees. So the bees go to the lotus flower. In Calcutta, that was my experience, that we had bees coming every day to the lotus flowers. We had one very big, huge bee, and he would come and sit inside. I would put a lotus on Krishna's flute or in Radharani's hand. He would come and sit inside the lotus. And we had small bees that would go on Jagannath's garland, because in Bhagavatam it describes in Vaikuntha that there's bees on the garland. So we had that experience in Calcutta, of the bees sitting on the garland. And Srila Prabhupada said that if you find bees with your deities, then that means Krishna is pleased with your deity worship. Yeah. Prabhupada told us. So we had a lot of bees, and they would come every day. Because we had the back window open behind the deity, so they would just fly in and have fun. Lotus flower. Okay. Lotus flower is... increases the greed for Krishna in the mind of the bee-like devotee. So our mind is like a bee, and if we meditate on the lotus flower, it will increase our greed for Krishna. And also, his feet are as soft as a lotus. And also, this is Lakshmi's symbol as well. Lakshmi Devi, her symbol is lotus. Swastika on the bottom, you see four swastika and four fruits. The swastika is victory and auspiciousness for those who take shelter of Krishna's feet. No inauspiciousness. Then, we're going to the next foot now for a minute. We find a bow with no string. It's in the middle of the foot, it's near the top, underneath a circle. Two circles, there is a half bow, there's a bow with no string. So, I have a picture for this. Like a bow can propel an arrow, meditation can propel the jiva toward Krishna. So here we have a chariot. This is based on a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 42. And there's a chariot. The chariot is the material body. And can you see what the bow says on the bow? You know what the bow is? The bow is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the jiva, that's us, when we're chanting, we're holding the bow of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And guess what the arrow is? Not only are we holding the bow, we're shooting ourselves as the arrow to Krishna. We're in two places. First we hold the bow and we chant, and then we shoot towards Krishna. So this is actually stated in this verse of Bhagavatam. And it says, when our mind meets Krishna's lotus feet, then we get prema. And that's the symbolism. Another symbolism of the bow is Cupid's unstrung bow. Out of frustration that everybody is forgetting him and meditating on Krishna, he has unstrung his bow. Cupid. So lust will also be defeated if you meditate on the bow, and you will shoot yourself to Krishna with his bow of Hare Krishna. So now on that same foot underneath the bow, there is a calf's hoof print. Calf's hoof print. If we meditate on lotus feet of Krishna, the material world becomes like water in a calf's hoof print. Now we have on that same foot, we have a conch shell. On the left side of that foot, the foot on the right, there's a conch shell. And as an arti, the conch holds water. There, Krishna's lotus feet holds transcendental water that soothes their devotees from the blazing fire of material miseries. It's also Ganga Devi coming from Krishna's lotus feet in the conch shell. also all forms of knowledge. When Juva Maharaj meant the Lord, then the Lord put the conch shell in the head and he became aware of all knowledge. So the conch shell also represents knowledge. Then we have the disc, which is on the back to the other foot, underneath the barley corn, and above the umbrella. The disc, the chakra, is brilliance, brilliant light that destroys the darkness of sin. And this disc also cuts down our six mental enemies: lust, greed, false ego, illusion, attachment, and envy. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, and matsarya. That is the disc. Lord Krishna. False ego, yeah. Well, that's all the false ego is made of. Six mental enemies: lust, greed, false ego. Oh, here I have false ego, illusion, attachment, and envy. These are six mental enemies. I also take care of kam, krodh, lobh, because those are also six enemies. So then we have the fish at the bottom of the right foot on the right side. The fish, as a fish cannot live without water, devotees cannot live a moment without association of Krishna's lotus feet. And all cherished desires will be fulfilled for those who take to his feet. Again, this is a sign of Cupid. The fish is on Cupid's flag. That's his symbol. And when you see this fish here, it's Cupid's symbol of surrender to Krishna. Cupid is surrendered to Krishna. The fish, that is the sign on Cupid's lotus, Cupid's flag. So he has put his thing on his flag, he's put it on Krishna's lotus feet. Then we have the umbrella, which is back on underneath the chakra. And there's a prayer in 3rd Canto, 5th chapter from the demigods. They say, your lotus feet are like an umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all the miseries of material existence. All the sages under that shelter throw off all material miseries. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. The umbrella is also a symbol for Govardhan Hill, which Krishna lifted like an umbrella. And another meaning, those who sit in the shade of his feet become exalted like kings. So then we have the rose apples, which are next to the swastikas. These are jambu fruits, which mean that his feet are the only worshipable objects for the residents of Jambudvip, who we are. The fruits, which are four fruits, which are next to the swastikas. I mean the jambu fruit, means that all the residents of Jambudvip, for us, his feet are the only worshipable object. And inside of the fruits and swastika, there is an eight-sided figure. It's called an octagon. Octagon, if you remember your math. Octagon, eight sides. And those who worship his feet, there are two meanings. Actually, three meanings. We are protected. Those who worship his feet are protected in the eight directions. Nothing within the kingdom of eight directions is unattainable for the devotees. And number three, you get all the eight mystic perfections. Eight mystic powers are there in the octagon. And so these are the meanings of the octagon. Jambudvip is for the jambu fruits. They're black color. But his feet are on the bottom. The whole material world is on the bottom of his lotus feet. All the demigods, they concentrate on these marks on the bottom of his lotus feet to create and to do their service. So it said, there's a verse, Samashitaye Parapalava Pavam Mahatparam Punya Yasha Marari. So the word Mahatparam means that the whole material universe is under the shelter of his soul, the bottom of his lotus feet. They're resting. So otherwise, if that wasn't there, we would have no material universe. If we didn't have Krishna's lotus feet giving shelter to the material universe, there would be no material universe. That is the shelter. Octagon. Three meanings. Those who worship him are protected in the eight directions. Number two, nothing within the kingdom of eight directions is unattainable for the devotees. And number three, all the devotees get the eight mystic perfections, eight mystic powers. Now we're going back to the foot on the right, all the way to the top, next to the conch shell, there's two circles, concentric circles. This represents the inner and outer sky. It means like the ether. Inner and outer sky. Yeah, see up there above the bow? Above the bow and next to the conch shell. Two circles represent the inner and outer air. And the meaning is, his feet are all-pervading within and without everything. So it's not, he's in Goloka, but his feet are here. We have his feet, otherwise we cannot live without him. His feet, and that's how we can get. In Bhagavatam, if you study, I think it's third canto, there is a description given. What it means to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna is that you're hearing and chanting. Always. And then you get the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is two concentric circles. Now the triangle has so many meanings. I've got 13, but I'm only going to tell you a few because I don't want to confuse you and take up so much time. I'll just take some main ones. Yes, the pure devotees are always at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes, the pure devotees are at the lotus feet. So if you take shelter of the pure devotees, then you will also be at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes, exactly. So the devotees are saved from threefold miseries. Triangle means three. So protected from threefold miseries. Sanctuary for demigods, humans, and animals. Take shelter of his feet by body, mind, and words. And for women, there is a special meaning for women. He is a shelter of all women, whether married, unmarried, or prostitutes. Three. Three kinds. Shelter of all women, whether married, unmarried, or prostitutes. Three categories of women. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a nice one. He never goes anywhere but Vrindavan, Dwaraka, and Mathura. It's another meaning of the triangle. He sees everyone equally, whether Sura, Asura, or Nara, and gives bhakti. Sura, Asura, or Nara. And he sees equally and gives bhakti. Okay, so those are the main meanings of the triangle. Then we have around the triangle, we have four water pots, always full with nectar that soothes the fire of separation of the devotees. And source of the Ganga, again. Now, half moon is especially a symbol of Lord Shiva, and it shows how Shiva decorates his head with Krishna's lotus feet, the half moon. Lord Shiva keeps a half moon on his head, but Krishna's lotus feet have that symbol, and that means he keeps Krishna's lotus feet on his head, half moon. And there's many... As the moon is one, it destroys the darkness seen by many people simultaneously. The Lord is one, yet his cleverness can deliver many souls at the same time. That's a complicated one. Here's one. Since his toenails appear like 10 full moons, the real moon has shriveled up in shame and appears as half. So, okay. Here's a nice, this is the last one. As the half moon is increasing, similarly, the benefit of one who is daily expanding glorification of his lotus feet in a spotless way is increasing. If you glorify his lotus feet daily, your benefit will increase daily as the moon is waxing. Now, the last one is the upward curving line. See, the line is going from, not going down, it's going down to up. If one clings, now this line is my favorite, one of my favorites. If one clings to his feet like a lifeline, one will be transported to higher realms and not fall down. Such devotees need not doubt their upward path. The path to his feet are direct. His feet can, now this is the best meaning, his feet can reach down to the lowest of fallen souls and deliver them who take shelter. Now this line is also the parampara. So we have to hold on to this line on Krishna's lotus feet. So now we're going to do an exercise of chanting and meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. So you can choose one mark, or you can go from one mark to another mark, and you can meditate on this particular mark while you're chanting your japa.
Do you mind, I missed
the calf. The calf, that's, you meditate on his lotus feet, the material ocean becomes as small as the water in a calf's hoofprint.
Swastik.
Swastik means all auspiciousness, victory and auspiciousness.
Elephant,
goat.
G-O-A-D,
goat. Goat. No, G for... G for... Gopinath, yeah. Okay, another meditation for you. They sell a book in the bookstall about the lotus feet, different lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita. So you can get that book and you can meditate.
They sell this in Prabhupada's house.
Oh, in Prabhupada's house. Okay. Oh, the photographs. Okay. Yeah, they sell, you can get the photographs. Prabhupada's house. So you can try that meditation. It's nice meditation to get to beyond the mind, to catch the mind. Catch the mind. Somehow we have to catch the mind.
We need to have a focus.
Deities. Most powerful is deities. So far, okay. Yes, deities, because actually it is the personification of the holy name, Radha and Krishna, personification. So if you can chant in front of Radha and Krishna, then you are experiencing the level of nishtha, the form, chanting with the form of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada said it's equal to the yogi's meditation on seeing super soul inside. If you just sit in front of the deities and chant, so it's the same thing as the yogis.
It's also because they're so beautiful.
Yeah, they capture you. Yes, they catch you. They keep bringing you back. You don't have to bring yourself back. They bring you back. Because they are so nice. Okay, so in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Deyama dejive kartavya kanatyan Radha Krishna padam buja dhyana padhan. Lord Chaitanya further inquired, out of many types of meditation, he's talking to Ramananda Roy, which is required for all living entities? Ramananda Roy replied, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So that's our chief duty. That's our chief meditation.
In the temple, we have deities.
Right.
Under the lotus feet of Krishna, why are they not painted like this?
I don't know. Yeah. Generally, they just put red hands, red feet. Yeah, well, that's how it was when Prabhupada was here, so I guess. Yeah, it's always like just red. So then you can get the book if you want to see the Lord's feet. Yeah, if you read that book, maybe he says something. Red feet, red hands. It was red. And we had no book, we had no mantras, only one mantra when I was pujari. The whole time we just chanted Brahma Samhita. Full Brahma Samhita, from verse Chintamani to the end of the big long verse. That was what our mantras were. That was our mantra. For bathing, dressing, everything, we just chanted that. And for me it was nice because the deity was Radha Govinda. Deities were Radha Govinda. And the prayer was Govinda Mari Purusham. Yeah, so that was very nice meditation. You meditate on the Brahma Samhita.
That line is so captivating.
Right.
You get lost and then you just go in
the Mahari Purusham.
Just
yeah, so that was the Pujari, the first thing, what we did before there were any books. In India, no books ever came, so I just had that mantra as a Pujari. They came after I left and went to distribute books. So now we're going to do something with the board. You can write for us. You're a very good writer. We're going to discuss the moods in chanting. So the first mood we've already discussed of a child crying for its mother, dependence. Dependence. To be dependent on Krishna. Dependent. Mood of dependence. Yes. And then she mentioned one mood. Love. So we've got two moods. Any other moods in chanting the holy name? Okay, service. Service mood. Dependence, love, service. Separation. Good. Separation. Any other moods? I can tell you so many because I have the list from all the seminars. Another one is respect and veneration, awe and reverence. Think of yesterday's prayer. Humility.
Humility.
Yeah, with humility we chant. Another one is gratitude. There are many prayers, because this is a prayer. So gratitude, when you pray, then there's different things that you pray, different ways you pray. Also, glorification.
Glorification.
Any other ideas? Right. Well, sometimes you feel like that also. And most of us in the material world, we have that respect. And we're trained to have that respect in deity worship. Awe and reverence. But there is friendship also. Indradumna Swami says the way he chants is, "Oh, my dear friend, oh, my dear friend." He's calling his friends. So, friendship.
Worshipping.
There's another one. I have a couple more. Is regret. My last seminar, the devotees were thinking of, they were just like a dictionary. Every single emotion, they would just say it, but actually, whether it was applicable or not. But we'll just keep to the minimum. Another mood is begging. Please. Okay. How about fixed determination? Fixed determination, yes? With determination, yes? That's very good.
Yes? We started like that.
That's very good. It's a good way to start.
That does give us good spiritual help.
Yes, of course. You should keep that. Yes. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. And then...
Then the determination weakens.
Okay, well, you just keep that determination. You must listen. You just listen to the holy name, the sound. And that's... Do the perfect mantra. Now, if you have that mood, you just try and get the perfect mantra. Because that's the yogic. I want to get the perfect mantra now. I will hear every syllable. I will hear everyone. And then that will elevate you. Yeah, it's very wonderful. That's very wonderful. Some devotees are not yogis. So for the yogis, it's good. We have hardly any determination, so... And we get in trouble all the time, so we have to beg. We have to sometimes feel humility. We have to do all these things. Yeah. So the way you can do it is the way you can.
Yeah.
What he found today is the pictures of the deities while you chant. No, just when you chant, then you see the picture of Radha and Krishna. Because this is the form of the holy name. This is the form. And it's person. You're actually calling Krishna and Radha. It's a person. So that will be very helpful. If you have that fixed determination and add the picture, and then it would be like you saw today. You know? That's also where I did. I was doing the chanting perfect mantra in front of my small Radha Govinda deities. And then so much came, so much revelation. I understood I came to Vrindavan, and I didn't know what is my service, because I was 7 years pujari, 7 years book distribution, and then I got a baby. I was 7 years mother. So then I summoned to Gurukul, and I said, okay, now what? What am I supposed to do? So I just chanted and chanted, and then it was revealed. I'm supposed to teach Bhagavatam, or whatever, everything, teach. Well, I said, okay, until I find out, I'll just do what I like to do, and that's study. Just read the books, be happy reading. See, after 3 months of chanting and reading, then I understood I have to teach. Not just read, I have to give it to others as well. It's much nicer. Okay, you can have a seat. We can just look at these different moods and relate them to different prayers. Of course, Shikshastaka is the main one. So the mood of dependence, which verse of Shikshastaka would that be? Ashishava Paratam. Please pick me up. Child crying for its mother. Love would be last one. Last two. Even if you trample on me, I still love you. Service would be Nadanam Najanam Nasandrin. Separation. Jagayata Nimeshena, right. Awe and reverence. You're more like...
Second.
Yeah, you have millions, hundreds and millions of names. So that's kind of awe and reverence. And the first one also, cleaning the heart, destroying the blazing fire. It's like in relationship to the material world, it's always awe and reverence. And... humility, of course. Janavi. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And gratitude.
Third.
And also I would say first. Oh, no, second. You have made approach so easy in your holy name. Gratitude. But then regret. But unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction. gratitude, glorification. First and second. Friendship would be maybe last one. Worship is very similar to the first and second. Begging would be, I think, please pick me up. Please accept me. Please accept me. A begging. Fixed determination. Yes. I think more the first... That's good. That's good. You're the first people who told me that. So, we have many yogis.
Fixed determination. We can put it on the last verse also.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, last one.
Yeah.
That one's whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to do a little exercise for about 5 minutes. For this exercise, you need a pen and a paper. So, and just something you can tear out. It should be, if you don't have, don't write it on your sheets. You have a piece of paper? You need a piece of paper? We have, everybody has? Something that you can tear out and hand in to me. Okay. So now on this piece of paper, I want you to write, I'll give you 5 minutes, what does the holy name mean to you? You can write about any experience, realization, or you can compose a prayer in glorification or some kind of prayer to the holy name. Need pen? Okay. So get a piece of paper out and a pen, and you have 5 minutes to write. What does the holy name mean to you? Any realization, any experience, or you may compose a prayer. Prayer. You may write a prayer, or you may write, what does the holy name mean to me? No, you don't have to. It'll be anonymous. It can be anonymous. Tomorrow I will read some of them, but I won't read the names. So it will be anonymous. Okay, we're going to do one last exercise, and that is going to chant Tulsi Devi. Can you move the Tulsi plant like in the middle there, so it's closer to everybody? The process of chanting, Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bring the chair too. Okay, someone can bring the chair. The process of chanting in Hare Krishna Mahamantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency, Prabhupada says. Simply by doing this, one can become spiritually strong. Therefore, we request the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. Chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering specks to the Tulsi plant difficult. The process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here's Haridas Thakur. He was so dear to Lord Chaitanya. He was chanting 3 lakhs of rounds every day. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carried his dead body and danced with it. So he is our I don't know who painted this. When I went to Nepal, there's a name here, which I can't read. I got this in Nepal when I gave the seminar, then Patri Prabhu took it from his computer and made this out of it. The something Jaradvas. I can't read his handwriting. No. Very difficult to read his handwriting. From the computer, yeah. It was on the computer and he gave it to me. He made this thing out of it and
beautiful to meditate on.
Yeah. So meditating, remember, you meditate on the devotee or Tulsi Devi, you get 1/100th of their power, a piety, spiritual benefits. So now we can chant, we can do this exercise. Yeah, she's none different from her picture. It has the same potency, but for us it may be easier to concentrate on the real one. Because the mind. Yes, that's true. If you make a big picture, it's the same. Oh, Vrinda Devi, okay. So that's good. Or you can make a picture of the actual size of Tulsi.
Yes.
If you make it that like this, make it a big size picture, and then you might be easier. Okay. So let's start. This is our last exercise for the day, and it's a very powerful one by chanting in front of Tulsi Devi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Okay, we'll stop now. So that's another thing you can do. Get a Tulsi Devi in your house and chant in front of Tulsi. It's also good. So any questions? Any last questions before we stop? Yes? Earplugs, right. Okay, so while traveling, you may use earplugs. Sometimes it's difficult to chant. What I do is usually the people, at least if you travel on the train, they sleep until 8 or 9 if you travel on the train in India. So I get up at, 4 or 5 and finish my rounds before they wake up. But, traveling is difficult. And when people are, and if you're on the plane, when people are sleeping, of course you feel like sleeping too. But it's difficult. What?
Also careful to
have pictures with you? Yes, and look at them.
Otherwise,
you look at the movie. Otherwise, you look at the movie if you don't look at the pictures. Uh-huh. So, any other ideas on the plane? Oh, yeah. Have Prabhupada Mahamantra and an MP3 player. That's a good idea. Yeah, even if you're not chanting, at least you're getting the mantra, the sound. Oh, then you have to chant softly.
Shout within your mind.
Yeah, I find that in the office, I mean, there's not that much work, actually.
Yeah.
People, they go there, but it's not that you have the work the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit there. And, with the pen. Prabhupada said that they move the pen and they get the money. But it's not that much. It's not really that you're working that much. And you have time.
That's maybe in India.
In India, for sure. And even in the West, I talked to some people. They said, these computer guys.
Yeah. I'm a lecturer.
Oh, well, then. Oh, then.
Professional trainers are helpless. Morning, 9 o'clock, the training starts.
Wow.
So 8 hours, I have to keep talking all the material technology.
No, that's why your voice is so loud. Yeah, that's a problem. Well, you have to stop in between, give them a break, and then you can chat. 1 hour. Yeah, but I know, and if you have a computer job, I heard that they have a lot of games on their computers, and they play games have a lot of part of the day. That's what I was working a little bit.
I complete the chanting in the morning before I go to the job.
Well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, and during lunch hours and all, I break and have database installed.
Very good.
Travel time.
You can read.
Travel also takes 1 hour going, 1 hour coming. So in the car, I can open the laptop.
Wow, very good.
Yeah, wonderful time.
If you have the desire, you'll find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, they say in the West. I mean, I remember when I was pujari, I had a schedule, 20 hours seva, 4 hours sleep. And I found the time to read all of Prabhupada's books and memorize verses, memorize chapters. And when I look back, I can't think how I found the time. But I was so attached to reading the books that I found the time. If that's what you want to do, then you will do it no matter what. And then finally, after being pujari and then selling books and then having a child, I got the service of reading the books, And so then that is finally, after 24 years being a devotee, then I got the service where I just have to read the books and speak. Yeah, finally I got that as a service. Before I was just always, no matter what I was doing, I would somehow always find the time to read a book, read the books. Yeah, 20 pujari. Yeah, because I was practically the only pujari. I would wake up at 2:30 because we only had one bathroom and we shared with the sannyasis and brahmacharis, one the same. So I had to be first, and then they would go. And then after that, I would wake up the deities 3:30, do Mangalarti, and then dress the deities, And I had 30 Tulsis to take care of. Then I would attend class. And the whole day I was responsible for the whole schedule, though I didn't do all. I did four aarties. And I dressed morning and evening. So I did the Mangala aarti, 12 o'clock aarti, 4 o'clock aarti, and evening aarti, the big one, Sandhya aarti. And my husband, he would collect for the deities. And we sold all the dresses, 52 dresses we made. And we got 15, 16 sets of jewelry, gold, silver, everything. He collected, he made life members, and he supported the deities like they were our children. And so, and I was doing flower decoration. And if some pujari didn't show up, I would have to do their service. And when Prabhupada came, then I would have to serve his servant because the kitchen was just like 2 feet by 2 feet. And you have coal stove, you know, called chula. Coal stove, that was our fire. Sometimes I would have to make the fire. Yeah, very austere. And we were on the floor, no bed, nothing, you know, on the mat, like this chatai, on the floor. In the kitchen, my room was in the kitchen, partition, in the kitchen. That was for 7 years. In between I would read the books. One time Prabhupada came, and he was giving Gita class. And all the men had the books, I didn't have the book. So, you know, they were chanting the verses, then they asked me to chant, and I knew the verse, so I just chanted, and Prabhupada, he was so happy. I didn't have the book, but I just chanted the verse. Avajanante Mahamudha. Huh?
How old were you when you joined?
22. And I came to India when I was 24. So I've been here about 33 years, and 1 year I went back. But from 72, I've been in India practically. And Calcutta, Bombay, Goa, and Vrindavan. Four places. So, I got my next service. I started the service in 1994, although at that time I understood what my service is, but the women were not allowed to speak anywhere. The Vaichi Bhakti Shastri was only for men. So I started in my house, in my room. I started giving Gita class. So for 3 years I was teaching just in my room. And then, and sometimes Prabhupada's would come too. And in 1997, they started the women's Bhakti Shastri. And I took...
That's when I started preaching.
Yeah, 97. Yeah. So then I had to take the test, because I couldn't study the book, so they allowed us to go to Bhagavad Gita class, so I was going to Gita class, but the other books I just had to study on my own and take the test and whatever. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. I said, that's my service, so I better just do it, you know. Doesn't matter if they give me any facility, you know, I can make my own facility. Like that. That's what you have to do. That was our mood. It doesn't matter on any facility. We had no money, we had no facility. It's just only the desire. Only thing. Nothing, no. Nothing. No water, no electricity. Yeah, we could not get books also.
They have already chewed, we are just swallowing. Yeah. Swallowing, we are choking. We can't even swallow properly. Like,
yeah, when I came to Bombay, the lady's ashram was on the roof of the building and it was summer. So it was very austere. We didn't have a roof. I got sick. Then they sent me to Calcutta. They thought, anyway, she's too sick. And be pujari in Calcutta. And then I was happy because I got a roof over my head. No electricity and no water.
Mosquitoes and all.
Yeah, we used mosquito nets. But there was no good drinking water. No Bisleri, nothing, you know. And we were just drinking. That's why I got sick in Bombay. They had a pot of water from where, I don't know. And you open the pot and all the mosquitoes will fly out, you know. So, oh my God. And the milk you get at night, you have to take out all the 10, 20 bugs from the milk in your glass. But in Calcutta, we didn't get milk. But at least I was happy because I had a roof over my head. But it was austere. We were happy because we felt like we are pioneers, revolutionaries, that we will change the world, you know.
Yes.
We will do that. Then we saw Prabhupada, we were only like in 20s and he was in 70s and he was doing so much more than we were. So, and what can we say? Yeah, very strong. Yeah, and also sometimes I couldn't even sleep 4 hours because Prabhupada would get sick, we have to do 24-hour kirtan. And my shift is in the night. So 2 hours. But that is, and the whole day I was doing deity watch because the deities were completely open. There was nothing protecting them. It was just like a rope. And the deities were there and you walk in and still the same temple is there in Calcutta. But now they have protection. But I had to watch the deities whole day. I couldn't leave. And my one of my temple presidents was Gargamuni Maharaj. And he said, he didn't buy me shoes. He says, you don't need shoes. Well, somebody stole my shoes. And he wouldn't buy me more shoes because he said, you don't go out. You just stay with the deities. You don't need shoes. So you don't go out. Anyway, yeah, that is... And traveling Sankirtan was austere because, of course, Matajis, they give the worst van. So when we took off for Sankirtan, the back door opened and all our belongings went out the door. So many stories I can tell. No light on the van, no horn. But in India, it's okay because even our driver was taken to the police in jail. And we just can bribe with one. That time, we could bribe with the Bhagavad Gita because nobody had it. We said, oh, you take this Gita and give us our driver back. Anyway, it was like that. It was like a very adventure. Adventurous mood. I don't know about chanting, but book distribution was like it. Anyway, you just chant, that's what's enough. You can chant very nicely. You will then later you will get the service too, don't worry. Now the austerity for me is not physical but more mental. So I have to do all this mental intellectual work for Krishna. It changed, the austerity changed. And physical because the body is degenerating. After 50, close to 60. Even after 40 it starts. But yeah. Okay, anyway, so you try. We have only 2 tips today. Meditate on the meaning of the holy name. Please accept me. And I can also add, you can meditate on the picture of the deities or the deities themselves. Meditate on the marks, Krishna's lotus feet. So you can try these 2.
Engage in service.
Please accept me. Please accept me.
That has more.
Yeah, well, that was Prabhupada's meaning of the. Yeah. Well, you have to see the context. If it's during japa time. Yeah, if during japa time, nobody should disturb you unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Pujaris, of course, don't get japa time.
Yeah,
Pujaris don't get japa time. They have to make their own japa time. Well, I would chant before or after puja. You missed the class. Or after morning prasad. Because there's a gap between that arti and the middle arti. If you're not cooking, if you're cooking, then that's a problem.
Yeah, now what?